You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
All right, hello, you are listening to A Face for Radio. I'm your host, Eric Coates. We're broadcasting live for the first show of the new year from the UBC campus in Vancouver, BC on unceded Musqueam territory. All right, what's up? Happy 2017. You know, it feels like I haven't talked to you since last year. I really like the jokes that you can only make in that 2-week period, not even, it's like a 9 to 10 day period, and the few days before the new year and the first few days after the new year, where you can make jokes about, oh, I won't do this until next year, or I haven't done this since last year, that are very popular with old people. In general, I think more so than the young, but I am a big fan of those types of jokes. So, yeah, that's about it. I'm going to start off the new year with some big news. The show is going to be coming to an end soon. I don't know when, but in the near future, I will give more details as necessary, but I wanted my dear listeners to have time to brace themselves. And, well, we'll talk about that later. Anyways, we're going to kick it off with the band, the local band, Petunia and the Vipers. So my mom got invited to go a few weeks ago to go to the show at the Wise Hall of Petunia and the Vipers. And it was very, she had a great time. And I was very skeptical. But then finally I listened to them and they're actually pretty good. So I hope you enjoy this as much as my mom did. The song is Blue Yodel Blues by Petunia and the Vipers. Here we go.
Yeah. day, Paul. Well, things have been a little complicated. Quality life has got me down. Well, sex is cheap and talk is overrated. And the boys and me still working on the sound. Well, a little happiness, a little love was all I wanted. Sure as hell thought I'd found it, but I was wrong. She left my heart feeling taunted, and my memories all haunted. But it's her I have to thank all my songs. So every day I'm smoking my brain hazy. All I can do to keep from going crazy. But the paranoia slowly creeping in. Oh, I keep drinking myself silly on the way for this hillbilly. And I thank God for this here life of sin. Look in the mirror and spy the sight of everything, all that I've become. Level up my Medicaid, some might find until my day. That's all right, it don't bother me, no. Down. Well, the sex is cheap and the talk is overrated. And the boys and me still working on the sound.
The most powerful motivational speeches that I have ever heard came from people who told me I couldn't do something. You know why? Because when they told me I couldn't do it, I was bound and determined to show them that I could.
All Access Pass is back for season two. We are a collectively run weekly program that discusses equity, inclusion, and accessibility issues on and off UBC's campus, including both visible and invisible disabilities. Anyone can get involved. No experience is necessary. People of all abilities are welcome to join. Check us out on Facebook at All Access Pass or get involved by emailing accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
Thanks to sky-high gas prices, we can convince America that more drilling is the answer. High gas prices? Drill more. Prices still high? Try drilling in a wildlife refuge or off a nice beach.
Our traditional energy resources are limited. Luckily, it's easy for students like you to conserve energy.
Woke up late for class? Buy some time in the morning by taking a shorter shower. Cut down by 1 minute every day and save enough to fund your daily caffeine fix for over a week. Plus, you save on electricity and water. Install a water-saving showerhead to save even more.
For more energy-saving tips, go to www.bchydro.com. This message brought to you by BC Hydro and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
All right, we are back. Face for Radio. I'm your host, Eric Coates. All right, we kicked it off with a little bit of a country set to start off the show. First, it was Petunia and the Vipers with the song Blue Yodel Blues off of their album Dead Bird on the Highway. Then we listened to Sturgill Simpson with the song Life of Sin from his album Metamodern Sounds and Country Music. That album came out in 2014. It is very good, as is his newest album, A Sailor's Guide to Earth. And Sturgill is, I believe, from Coal Country in West Virginia originally, but based in Nashville now, I believe. And Petunia and the Vipers are our very own little country act here from Vancouver. So I believe they play regularly at the Wise Hall, Petunia and the Vipers. So if you liked what you heard, you should check it out. All right, we're going to keep the show rolling here. And we're going to kick this next set off. Well, first, it's a bit of a different set, I should say. We're going to start off with a song and go right into a story. The song is Jackrabbits by Joanna Newsom off of her album, Have One On Me. Thank you. Off her album, Have One On Me, which I committed to listening to the full 2 hours of that album the other day, I think for the first time ever, and it was well worth it. So that's just one of the great songs off that album. And then we're going to listen to Perfect Day for Banana Fish by J.D. Salinger, one of my favorite short stories and a great short story overall. So we're going to go with those. Hope you enjoy.
I was tired of being drunk. My face cracked like a joke. So I swung through here like a brace of jackrabbits with their necks all broke. I stumbled at the door with my boot. And I knocked against the jam. And I scrabbled at your chance like a mute with my fists of ham. Trying to tell you that I am. Telling you I can. Thank you.
from A Perfect Day for Banana Fish by J.D. Salinger. "See more glass," said Sybil Carpenter, who was staying at the hotel with her mother. "Did you see more glass?" "Pussycat, stop saying that. It's driving Mummy absolutely crazy. Hold still, please." Mrs. Carpenter was putting suntan oil on Sybil's shoulders, spreading it over the delicate wing-like blades of her back. Sybil was sitting insecurely on a huge inflated beach ball facing the ocean. She was wearing a canary yellow two-piece bathing suit, one piece of which she would not actually be needing for another 9 or 10 years. "It was really just an ordinary silk handkerchief. You could see when you got up close," said the woman in the beach chair beside Mrs. Carpenter's. "I wish I knew how she tied it. It was really darling." "It sounds darling," Mrs. Carpenter agreed. "Sybil, hold still, pussy." "Did you see more glass?" said Sybil. Mrs. Carpenter sighed. "All right," she said. She replaced the cap on the suntan oil bottle. "Now run and play, pussy. Mummy's going up to the hotel and have a martini with Mrs. Hubble. I'll bring you the olive." Set loose, Sybil immediately ran down to the flat part of the beach and began to walk in the direction of Fisherman's Pavilion. Stopping only to sink a foot in a soggy, collapsed castle, she was soon out of the area reserved for guests of the hotel. She walked for about a quarter of a mile, and then suddenly broke into an oblique run up the soft part of the beach. She stopped short when she reached the place where a young man was lying on his back. "Are you going in the water, see more glass?" she said. The young man started, his right hand going to the lapels of his terry cloth robe. He turned over on his stomach, letting a sausage towel fall away from his eyes, and he squinted up at Sybil. "Hey, hello, Sybil. Are you going in the water?" "I was waiting for you," said the young man. "What's new?" "What?" said Sybil. "What's new? What's on the program?" "My daddy's coming tomorrow on a Neri plane," Sybil said, kicking sand. "Not in my face, baby," the young man said, putting his hand on Sybil's ankle. "Well, it's about time he got here, your daddy. I've been expecting him hourly. Hourly." "Where's the lady?" Sybil said. "The lady?" The young man brushed some sand out of his thin hair. "That's hard to say, Sybil. She may be in any one of 1,000 places. At the hairdresser's, having her hair dyed mink, or making dolls for poor children in her room." Lying prone now, he made two fists, set one on top of the other, and rested his chin on the top one. "Ask me something else, Sybil," he said. "That's a fine bathing suit you have on. If there's one thing I like, it's a blue bathing suit." Sybil stared at him, then looked down at her protruding stomach. "This is a yellow," she said. "This is a yellow." "Is it? Come a little closer." Sybil took a step forward. "You're absolutely right. What a fool I am. Are you going in the water?" "I'm seriously considering it. I'm giving it plenty of thought, Sybil, you'll be glad to know." Sybil prodded the rubber float that the young man sometimes used as a headrest. "It needs air," she said. "You're right. It needs more air than I'm willing to admit." He took away his fists and let his chin rest on the sand. "Sybil," he said, "you're looking fine. It's good to see you. Tell me about yourself." He reached in front of him and took both of Sybil's ankles in his hands. "I'm a Capricorn," he said. "What are you?" "Sharon Lipschutz said you let her sit on the piano seat with you," Sybil said. "Sharon Lipschutz said that?" Sybil nodded vigorously. He let go of her ankles, drew up his hands, and laid the side of his face on his right forearm. "Well," he said, "you know how these things happen, Sybil. I was sitting there playing, and you were nowhere in sight, and Sharon Lipschutz came over and sat down next to me. I couldn't push her off, could I?" "Yes." "Oh, no. Oh, no, I couldn't do that," said the young man. "I'll tell you what I did do, though." "What?" "I pretended she was you." Sybil immediately stooped and began to dig in the sand. "Let's go in the water," she said. "All right," said the young man. "I think I can work it in." "Next time, push her off," Sybil said. "Push who off?" "Sharon Lipschutz." "Ah, Sharon Lipschutz," said the young man. "How that name comes up. Mixing memory and desire." He suddenly got to his feet. He looked at the ocean. "Sybil," he said, "I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll see if we can catch a banana fish." "A what?" "A banana fish," he said. and undid the belt of his robe. He took off the robe. His shoulders were white and narrow, and his trunks were royal blue. He folded the robe first lengthwise, then in thirds. He unrolled the towel he had used over his eyes, spread it out on the sand, and then laid the folded robe on top of it. He bent over, picked up the float, and secured it under his right arm. Then with his left hand he took Sybil's hand. The two started to walk down to the ocean. "I imagine you've seen quite a few banana fish in your day," the young man said. Sybil shook her head. "You haven't? Where do you live, anyway?" "I don't know," said Sybil. "Sure you know. You must know. Sharon Lipschutz knows where she lives, and she's only 3 1/2." Sybil stopped walking and yanked her hand away from him. She picked up an ordinary beach shell and looked at it with elaborate interest. She threw it down. "Whirly Wood, Connecticut," she said, and resumed walking, stomach foremost. "Whirly Wood, Connecticut," said the young man. "Is that anywhere near Whirly Wood, Connecticut, by any chance?" Sybil looked at him. "That's where I live," she said impatiently. "I live in Whirly Wood, Connecticut." She ran a few steps ahead of him, caught up her left foot in her right hand and hopped 2 or 3 times. "You have no idea how clear that makes everything," the young man said. Sybil released her foot. "Did you read Little Black Sambo?" she said. "It's very funny you should ask me that," he said. "It so happens I just finished reading it last night." He reached down and took back Sybil's hand. "What did you think of it?" he asked her. "Did the tigers all run around that tree?" "I thought they'd never stop. I never saw so many tigers." "There were only 6," Sybil said. "Only 6," said the young man. "Do you call that only?" "Do you like wax?" Sybil asked. "Do I like what?" asked the young man. "Wax." "Very much, don't you?" Sybil nodded. "Do you like olives?" she asked. "Olives, yes, olives and wax. I never go any place without 'em." "Do you like Sharon Lipschutz?" Sybil asked. "Yes, yes, I do," said the young man. "What I like particularly about her is that she never does anything mean to little dogs in the lobby of the hotel. That little toy bull that belongs to that lady from Canada, for instance. You probably won't believe this, but some little girls like to poke that little dog with balloon sticks. Sharon doesn't. She is never mean or unkind. That's why I like her so very much." Sybil was silent. "I like to chew candles," she said finally. "Who doesn't?" said the young man, getting his feet wet. "Wow, it's cold." He dropped the rubber float on its back. "No, wait just a second, Sybil. We'll get out a little bit." They waded out till the water was up to Sybil's waist. Then the young man picked her up and laid her on her stomach on the float. "Don't you ever wear a bathing cap or anything?" he asked. "Don't let go," Sybil ordered. "You hold me now." "Miss Carpenter, please, I know my business," the young man said. "You just keep your eyes open for any banana fish. This is a perfect day for banana fish." "I don't see any," Sybil said. "That's understandable. Their habits are very peculiar." He kept pushing the float. The water was not quite up to his chest. "They lead a very tragic life," he said. "Do you know what they do, Sybil?" She shook her head. "Well, they swim into a hole where there's a lot of bananas. They're very ordinary-looking fish when they swim in. But once they get in, they behave like pigs. Why, I've known some banana fish to swim into a banana hole and eat as many as 78 bananas." He edged the float and its passenger a foot closer to the horizon. "Naturally, after that, they're so fat they can't get out of the hole again. Can't fit through the door." "Not too far out," Sybil said. "What happens to them?"
"What happens to who?"
"The banana fish." "Oh, you mean after they eat so many bananas that they can't get out of the banana hole?"
"Yes," said Sybil.
"Well, I hate to tell you, Sybil, and they die."
"Why?" said Sybil.
"Well, they get banana fever. It's a terrible disease." "Here comes a wave," Sybil said nervously.
"We'll ignore it. We'll snub it," said the young man. "Two snobs."
He took Sybil's ankles in his hands and pressed down and forward. The float nosed over the top of the wave. The water soaked Sybil's blonde hair, but her scream was full of pleasure. With her hand, when the float was level again, she wiped away a flat, wet band of hair from her eyes and reported, "I just saw one." "So what, my love?" "A banana fish." "Good God, no," said the young man. "Did he have any bananas in his mouth?" "Yes," said Sybil. "6. The young man suddenly picked up one of Sybil's wet feet, which were drooping over the end of the float, and kissed the arch. "Hey," said the owner of the foot, turning around. "Hey yourself. We're going in now. You had enough?" "No." "Sorry," he said, and pushed the float towards shore until Sybil got off it. He carried it the rest of the way. "Goodbye," said Sybil, and ran without any regret in the direction of the hotel. The young man put on his robe, closed the lapels tight, and jammed his towel into his pocket. He picked up the slimy, wet, cumbersome float and put it under his arm. He plodded alone through the soft, hot sand toward the hotel. On the main floor of the hotel, which the management directed bathers to use, a woman with zinc salve on her nose got into the elevator with a young man. "I see you're looking at my feet," he said to her when the car was in motion. "I beg your pardon," said the woman. "I said, I see you looking at my feet." "I beg your pardon. I happen to be looking at the floor," said the woman, and faced the doors of the car. "If you want to look at my feet, say so," said the young man. "But don't be a goddamn sneak about it." "Let me out of here, please," the woman said quickly to the girl operating the car. The car doors opened and the woman got out without looking back. "I have 2 normal feet and I can't see the slightest goddamn reason why anybody should stare at them," said the young man. 5, please." He took his room key out of his robe pocket. He got off at the 5th floor, walked down the hall and let himself into 507. The room smelled of new calfskin luggage and nail lacquer remover. He glanced at the girl lying asleep on one of the twin beds. Then he went over to one of the pieces of luggage, opened it, and from under a pile of shorts and undershirts, he took out a Nautjes caliber 7.65 automatic. He released the magazine, looked at it, then reinserted it. He cocked the piece. Then he went over and sat down on the unoccupied twin bed, looked at the girl, aimed the pistol, and fired a bullet through his right temple.
Thank you. Become a CITR member and make some new friends.
Members get discounts downtown at Little Sisters Book and Art Emporium, the Cinematheque, the Fall Tattooing, Selectors Records, Community Thrift and Vintage, Vinyl Records, Sakura's, Classical Records, and Beat Street Records.
What would we do without our friends?
Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
All right, we're back. Great promo for Dave Radio Show. All right. That was a bit of a long set there. We kicked it off with the song Jackrabbits by Joanna Newsom off her album Have One on Me. Yes. Then we listened to an excerpt, I should say, of J.D. Salinger's story, A Perfect Day for Banana Fish, that is missing a key part of the story where his wife is talking to her mother, which is very good. But it has the part where he's talking with Sybil and the ending. So, I mean, I guess I kind of spoiled it there because the ending, I guess, makes more sense if you have the whole of the story. But, you know, what can you do? Anyway. After that, we listened to a song off of an album that was played a lot on this show last year by local band Yokes, the song SBC off of their first set of tunes called Not Your Bay Demos. And yeah, another great little set of songs that came out last year. All right, we don't have too much time left. This is show number 86. Do you realize that? I did not. It puts me 14 away from 100. 14 weeks is just over 3 months, right? Oh. I want to hit the century mark, but I don't know if we will. That's okay, though. It leaves room for more. Anyway, I hope all of you had a great new year. I went to Salt Spring Island for I went there in the day. 31st came back on the day of the 1st. I was a little reticent because I was going with my girlfriend and a couple of her friends to see, to spend the new year there. And the band that was playing that we were going to see is called John and Roy. And no offense to John and Roy, but I was not excited. I was having a great time calling them by different names like Greg and Phil or Kevin and Todd. Just like any assortment of names that don't go together like John and Roy. Anyway, I was a little nervous. I did not have high expectations whatsoever. But the event was actually a whole lot of fun. I was at the Fulford Community Hall, so in Salt Spring's second biggest city, I think. And it was a really nice event because there were people of all ages. Everyone was having a good time and having fun and just getting, you know, and as a very nice community spirit. And the music snob in me went away, sort of. And even though I still have my qualms about it, I was able to enjoy myself because it wasn't really about the music itself that was playing, but about the atmosphere that was created. And that was very nice. And then they messed up the New Year's countdown because I guess people on different networks have different times on their phone. So there are a couple people to whom it was New Year's 2 minutes before it was New Year's to other people, which was pretty funny because the band, I think, was on whatever network, had New Year's 2 years later than the other one. So half of the audience started cheering and celebrating while the band was still halfway through its song, and the other half of the audience had no idea what was going on. Anyways, I thought it was a very apropos way to start the new year. So we've only got a few more songs for you. This is another little set. I will be honest and admit that I have tried to get into Captain Beefheart, but I've struggled historically because I just didn't get what all the fuss was about, to be honest. But I've listened to the album Safe as Milk quite a bit over the past couple months, and it is a terrific album, and I get it. I get why people are so into it. I haven't listened to the other ones. I know the other ones are apparently a lot more like a Trout Mask replica, a lot more experimental and psychedelic and all that. And this is sort of like the pop entry into Beefheart. But you know what? I'll take it. Maybe 2017 will be the year where I fully get into the juicy middle of the Captain's Beefheart. Anyways, this is the song Abba Zaba, or Abba Zaba, off of Captain Beefheart's first album, their 1967 debut, Safe as Milk. Enjoy.
We'll be right back.
All right. That was the song Aristic by local band Be Afraid off of their new album Never Do Anything. All right. Before that, we listened to Beefheart, the captain, Captain Beefheart. And the song was Abba Zaba. I hope that you enjoyed it. And I just want to read some of the comments on the YouTube channel that I was that I was reading while we were listening to the song. First, Funkin' Telechi says, "I am the cosmic bacon that is not for breakfast." I guess. Cool. Then Eric Rudolph, Eric with a K, good man, says, "Wow, this doesn't sound, this doesn't sound like Nickelback at all." That is a astute observation, Mr. Rudolph. And finally, possibly my favorite, is Sir Hamlet, whose profile picture is a picture of Alex Turner of the Arctic Monkeys, said, "This makes my women, my woman ovaries flutter." To which Sun Dandelion, 3 months later, replied, "How about the rest?" Wink, smiley face. So, yeah, there you go. I guess some comments that are as weird as the captain's music. Also, fun fact, Ry Cooder, famous guitarist and guy behind Buena Vista Social Club, plays guitar on this album. I don't think he plays a guitar on any other Captain Beefheart albums, but he's on this one. And I think the guitar is very good. But I will take this chance to admit that I did not know that. For some reason, I thought Ry Cooder was Cuban, because one of his social clubs, Cuban music, he was the guy. I thought, okay, Ry Cooder was this Cuban guy who left Cuba and like went to the States. But no, he's just like some white American guy from California. So, you know, my mistake. And I just needed to get that off my chest and maybe share it with anyone else who maybe thought Ry Cooder was Cuban. Anyway, we're gonna close the show off here, the first show of the new year, with Sharon Van Etten, the song "I Love You But I'm Lost" off her last album, Are We There? It seems like she's taken a bit of time off from making music. I think she is in the new Netflix show, The Oa, that was made by, I think, is it? Is it Britt Marling? I think it's Britt Marling is her name. Yeah, I was right. All right, yeah, Britt Marling's new show, The Oa, or The OA, I don't know, I haven't seen it. But I have seen her movie Another Earth, which is actually a really pretty good movie. So I'll probably check out The Oa sooner or later, especially because one of my favorites, Sharon Van Etten, is apparently on the show. So that's worth watching it, as far as I'm concerned. All right, up next will be Rocket from Russia with their first show of the new year. Expect more punk rock. More great punk rock. But until then, we're going to, you know, take it down a notch. And with Sharon Van Etten's "I Love You But I'm Lost." Happy New Year, everybody. Pleasure to be back. Enjoy.
One, two. Thank you. easy with mistakes. You know I'm better every day. Tell me there's something I can change. Recall I know what a sanctuary is. Help me deserve you, sing. Disappointed in a lover because they're the only way. To know somebody in and out after a while, it's a challenge. Come in here and be yourself again. Suppose that we were lost. Let's turn it.